I was going to have a conversation with my next guest next segment, but I want to start at the top of the hour because I want to make sure we had enough real estate for this. We are joined right now by somebody who led the LA Lakers to the 1980 NBA championship. He led the Phoenix Mercury to the 2007 WNBA title. He was a two-time WCC Coach of the Year at Loyola Marymount. He's got a brand new book out. It's called The Speed Game, My Fast Times in Basketball. It is available right now on Amazon. I'm joined by Paul Westhead. Paul, it's so nice to have you on the program. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Jim. Thank you.
It's good to talk to you, Paul. There's so many things that we can talk about and will, but I want to start at the start of the book. You make a really interesting point to start the book when you say you won an NBA title in 1980, but 18 months later you were fired. At that time, Paul, a beat writer asked you, quote, "Why did you insert your fast break system with a Laker team that had just won a world championship with a proven style of play? You had a new contract. Owner Jerry Buss proclaimed that you were the best coach in the world. Why, Paul, why mess with success?" End of quote. So that's where you start the book. Paul, let me ask you, how would you answer that question?
Yeah, well, in addition to Scott Osler, the beat writer for the LA Times, and asking that question, my wife also asked the question, why, Paul, why?
Great.
And 20 jobs later, she's still asking me, why did you do that? So the answer is that I had this concept of fast break basketball that was running through my veins, and I just wanted to do it. So I took a chance, and sometimes it worked. Like the Phoenix Mercury and Loyola Marymount, and other times it didn't, and I got fired. So it just was the way I wanted to play.
Paul Westhead joining us. You mentioned Scott Osler. Paul, I grew up in Los Angeles, and I used to talk to Scott Osler. Man, he was an amazing... It's funny that you talk about him being a beat writer because he was an amazing columnist. I used to kind of laugh with him, Paul. He actually worked at the Lompoc Record way back in the day. Those were some heady times, but what about Osler? He was a great columnist, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yeah, Scott and I became, you know, friendly when I was coaching the Lakers and he worked for the LA Times. And on the road, we'd go out for long distance runs. We were both wannabe runners, so we'd do a 10-mile run day of the game.
Now, yeah, that's something. Now, if we go back a little bit, as you write in the book, after you graduated from St. Joseph's, you had a fellowship at Villanova and you were studying English Lit. Who were you studying, and what were those days like?
Now, they were some of the happiest days of my life. I had 2 years as a student, as an academic, doing the academic life. My master's thesis is on William Shakespeare's play, Titus Andronicus, which, fortunately, other than me, no one in the world has ever read. So I could probably be a genius on Titus Andronicus, and no one would know. But I just love those times of just being a student and going to the library and doing academic life.
Paul Westhead is joining us right now. He's got a brand new book out. So, Paul, if you were studying Shakespeare and you did your thesis on Shakespeare, how much were you thinking about being a basketball coach at that point? How did you get into coaching? Did you grow up dreaming of being a coach?
Yeah, well, when I was at St. Joe's, I played for, you know, Dr. Jack Ramsey, and I always admired him and his way of dealing with people. While I was at Villanova, about to graduate, there were a couple local coaching jobs opening up, and I asked him to help me out, and he said, "I'll make a call for you." He said, "But I don't think you're going to be a very good coach." He said, I think you belong in the classroom." So he made some calls. I eventually went to the University of Dayton, and I became the freshman coach at UD for a year with Jack Ramsey's help, and then everything went from there. I became a high school teacher and coach back in Philly, and then to LaSalle, and then to the Lakers.
Paul Westhead is joining us. His new book is called The Speed Game, My Fast Times in Basketball. You know, Paul, what's really interesting to me is you write that you went to a Bobby Knight coaching clinic and that initially you were a Bobby Knight style coach, quote, a classic hard ass do it by the book coach. And you were happy to win a defensive struggle without any fast breaks. It seems really hard for me to picture you like that. What did you think, or what do you think, when you look back on that time and that philosophy you had?
Yeah, it's unbelievable, Jim. And as I have in the book, I took the Bobby Knight drills my first practice as a new coach I run my first drill where two players dive in the center of the court for a loose ball, and my star player breaks his collarbone on the first play of my first practice. And I said, wow, this life is not that easy. But I look back, and I had a reunion with my high school team about 10 years ago, which incidentally, they're the only team of my 20 coaching positions that invited me back. So that tells you something.
Wow.
And they said that I was no fun to be around. Like, I was demanding and tough and made them do hard defensive drills. And so I got that out of my system, though, Jim. I don't do that anymore.
Good. Good. Paul Westhead joining us. So, Paul, for those, this is all really funny. I mean, it's all so interesting. For those who do not know, how did you first then discover the running game? And then what was that moment like for you?
Well, in the 70s, when I was at LaSalle, during the summers, I went to San Juan, Puerto Rico, and coached in the leagues down there. They had summer basketball leagues. And I had notions about fast break, and the Puerto Rican players embraced my notions. I mean, they looked at me like, mira, I love this. So the players and I joined together, and I became a running coach in the summertime, and I just brought it back up to LaSalle. And I also met Sonny Allen then, who was a coach at Old Dominion University. And he gave me his system. He said, I have to warn you, you have to be a little crazy to do this. I said, well, I qualify. So then I went and did it.
Paul Westhead's my guest. He's got a brand new book out. It's called The Speed Game, My Fast Times in Basketball. Paul, I actually know Sonny. Sonny used to come on this show quite a bit, and I go back with him as well. Sonny, he was a coach's coach now, but he did do it a different way. And as Sonny and you discussed it, like, anybody can run a fast break a few times. Anybody can defend it a few times. But when you get to that, I don't know, 82nd or 83rd time in the game, that's when other teams want nothing to do with it. What did it feel like when the other team would just give up?
Well, you knew it was coming, and your players knew it was coming. Like, we used to estimate we were going to have 100 offensive possessions. And somewhere along the line, 60, 70, 75, you could see the look in their eyes. The opposition, you know, looked at you like, we don't want any more of this. We're done. Please stop. And our players would just blow right through. So you knew it was coming. It makes me remember one time we played the Holy Cross from back east at LMU, and we won like 120 to 105. And I knew the coach. So afterwards, I was chatting with him, and I said, George, your team played well. They hung in. They did a good job. He said, no, they were done with 10 minutes to go in the game. I said, no, they played well. He said, no, I don't mean my players. I mean the officials.
Ah, right.
With 10 minutes to go, they stopped. One stood at one end, the other stood in the middle, and the other stood at the far end. He said they never moved for the last 10 minutes.
So the officials are tapping out with 10 minutes left. Paul Westhead joining us, but that's what that style would do. The book is called The Speed Game, My Fast Times in Basketball. Paul, I went to UC Santa Barbara as a student, and then I stayed in that town, and I worked and got my broadcasting career there, and the Gauchos used to schedule, or LMU would schedule UCSB, and you'd come into the building, so I remember those days pretty clearly. You coached Hank Gathers and Bo Kimble, of course, at Loyola Marymount, and as you write, you look like a genius. What did it feel like when it all clicked the way that it did at LMU with those players?
Yeah, it was kind of magical, Jim, to tell you the truth. We, our players knew what they could do, and they thought this was the only way to play. They would look at games on TV and say to me, Coach, it was so boring, I turned the game off. That was just regular basketball. We played different, Coach, and they knew it. So it was really, I gave it to them, but it was their game. And speaking of UCSB, I remember going up to the Thunderdome and playing Jerry Pym and that group, and we always had some knockout games up there.
Oh, man, I love that you remember that, like that. When Jerry Pym came in there, you guys had some great, great games there. What about Hank? Paul, Hank Gathers, he was larger than life, and not just as a scorer, but as a rebounder, an absolute force on defense. What was he like as a teammate?
Well, as a teammate, he was very demanding. Hank worked as hard, if not harder, than anybody. And he never took a drill or a play or a game off. He was always pushing. He wanted the ball. He wanted to be the center of basketball. If he wasn't shooting, he was going to rebound somebody else's shot. So Hank was, well, as you know, he led the country in scoring and rebounding in his junior year. So he was a nonstop, talented athlete who just attacked.
Paul Westhead is joining us. Paul, in the book, you write about the game against the University of Portland where Hank collapsed, and you write that you don't remember what you were thinking, but you remember seeing him try to sit up and then fall back down, and then you remember the silence in the gym. How did you and the team go about processing Hank's passing and life without him? Because obviously there is no playbook for something like that.
Yeah, that was a very difficult time. It was 30 years ago now, and it seems like 3 minutes ago, but after the funeral services, one held at LMU and then one back at his church in North Philadelphia, where all the players and I attended, we came back and the players said, "Coach, we want to keep going." And so we practiced and we went into the NCAA tournament, and they played for Hank, but they also were playing to give them a chance to forget the grief that they were going through. For 2 hours a day, they were kids in the schoolyard playing. And then the rest of the time, their thoughts were on Hank Gathers.
And Paul, what do you remember about, and not to single him out because the players played with so much heart and so much passion and so much courage, but what about Bo Kimble? When you think about Bo Kimble at that time and the way he played, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Yeah, well, Bo kind of took over the team. You know, he never was shy either, like Hank. So Bo didn't mind saying, "Well, give me the ball, and I'll take all the shots." But I do remember the first NCAA tournament game against New Mexico State. 10 minutes into the game, Bo gets fouled going to the basket, so he's going to shoot two free throws. And then everything stops because he had announced that he was going to shoot left-handed for his fallen teammate, Hank Gathers. I had chills watching him bounce the ball, cup it in his left hand, and release the ball, and miraculously, it goes in. And there was a great sense of relief after that.
I mean, I didn't even want to pose the question. I wonder what that would have been like had he not made it, but then again, there was maybe not a chance that he was not going to not make that. That was an amazing moment, wasn't it? An amazing moment when he made that free throw left-handed.
Yeah, Jim. Knowing Bo, if he not made it, he probably would have went in, rebounded his own, and dunked it.
No doubt. Paul Westhead joining us. You know, Paul, you are known as the guru of Go, and the NBA has made a move to pace and space in terms of style. I'm curious, like, when you watch the NBA game right now, I mean, is this the way you've always envisioned basketball, or is it maybe still a little slower than what you'd like to see?
Yeah, you know, I would like to take some credit, but, you know, I watch a lot of games. I saw all of the playoff series with the Lakers, and I really don't see a lot of running. This is not the style that I advocated. You know, as I say, if we had it 100 times, we ran and shot within 4 or 5 seconds every possession. The Lakers and other prominent teams, they run occasionally. And see, deep down, Jim, players don't want to run. They say they do, but they want to go at a very steady, even pace. I did see flares of it, like Anthony Davis a few times after Miami would score a basket. He would sprint the lane, and they'd throw a lead lob to him ahead of the defense, and he'd slam dunk with nobody around him. Well, we did that routinely. But basketball is not as fast as I ever played it.
Talking to Paul Westhead. Paul, before I let you go, I want to follow up on one thing you mentioned. You talked about when you were coaching in San Juan in Puerto Rico in the summer. There was a time, actually, back then when guys like Phil Jackson, Raleigh Massimino, my guy Dale Harris, they were coaching there too. What was that entire experience like?
Oh, it was the greatest. Yeah, you mentioned some of the figures down there. In addition to that, P.J. Carlissimo was down there with us. Jim Boeheim was down there. Jimmy Lynam was down there. We would sit around on the beach all day and with our families enjoy life on the water. And then we would coach at night, and then we would talk about it. I mean, there wasn't a better time than those summers in Puerto Rico with the coaches and those players.
I was just going to say, it sounds like an absolute blast. Had to be the best time of life. Paul Westhead led the Lakers to that championship in 1980, led the Phoenix Mercury to a WNBA title in 07. He was a two-time WCC Coach of the Year. He's got a brand new book. It's called The Speed Game, My Fast Times in Basketball. You can get this book on Amazon right now. Paul, that was great. So good to get caught up with you. Congrats on that book, and I really appreciate that conversation.
Thanks, Jim. I didn't know you were a Gaucho.
Oh, yeah. I'm a proud Gaucho. I'm a proud Gaucho. I was there before Jerry Pym got there, before Brian Shaw got there. So I remember you guys coming in.
Yep.
Jerry could coach now, right?
Yes. Yes, he could. He was tough. He was good.
He was tough. All right, Paul. Great talking to you. Thanks so much. I am a Gaucho forever. All right. Paul Westhead. That was good. That was fun. I was hoping that would go exactly like that. Great sense of humor. Good anecdotes. Good stuff. Paul Westhead throwing it back. All right. 1-800-636-8686. You get chills hearing the stories about LMU and Hank Gathers and Bo Kimble in the NCAA tournament shooting that free throw left-handed to honor his teammate. I remember the Thunderdome he mentioned. I always get such a kick out of that when guys went into the Thunderdome. For those of you who don't know, Thunderdome is the on-campus arena where UC Santa Barbara plays. We have 6,000 people. And the Thunderdome got a lot of run back in the day when UNLV was in the Big West, and the Gauchos would go up against UNLV on Big West or on Big Monday on ESPN.